You walk into the store to purchase something. The cashier, doing her job, tells you that the total, and you reach into your wallet and you pull out a crisp, brand new $20 bill. The first thing that she does is she grabs this pen from the register and marks on it. Or she'll hold it up and she'll look to see if there's a little band inside of it. What is she doing? She's checking to see if it's counterfeit. Something that's counterfeit is something that is likely to be confused with the genuine thing by definition. And there are those who will try to make money in a way so that they create money instead of earning money. And when they do so, they have created counterfeit money and they try to use it. Well, the truth of the matter is that there are counterfeits in more things than just money. And God's laws speak against counterfeits in religion. If you'll turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1, we'll see the warning given then, long before the church of Christ existed. But when people were still worshiping God, they were worshiping him under the old law, his people were, and they were warned not to offer unto him counterfeit religion. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. We need to understand, as we contemplate this morning, counterfeit Christianity, that there are those who are involving themselves in that very thing this day. In Luke chapter 4, verse 46, we see Jesus talking to people, responding to them after they had called upon him. They had called him Lord, Lord. And he spoke of this counterfeit religion when he says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If indeed we are going to be involved in religion and make it such that it's not counterfeit religion, we would do the things that God would say to do. Those who abide in the genuine receive God's blessings. We find this as far back as Psalms 119:1. The psalmist wrote, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." God has always provided laws for his creation. They may have been few, such as in the Garden of Eden when there was one law. Unfortunately, man chose to break it. They may have been many, as they were listed under the Old Testament laws and written down for the people. Unfortunately, man continue to break them. But the psalmist says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Do you want to be happy? Do what God says. You will be happy. When we are contemplating counterfeit Christianity, we need to look at verses such as Luke chapter 11, verse 28. When he said, "But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." It's not just enough to hear it. It's not just enough to say, "Yeah, we heard it." Are we doing it? Are we keeping it? In James chapter 1, verses 25 and verse 27, we see James, directed by the Spirit to write this in this general epistle, says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Verse 27 tells us then what pure religion is. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You cannot keep yourself unspotted from the world unless you do those things which God has said to do in his word. This counterfeit situation is a real problem in Christendom. I say that from the standpoint that there are many religious bodies meeting all over this town, all over this state, and all over this country. And they are meeting and claiming that they are serving God. Many of them will take the Bible and say, "Well, we can show you in the Bible for everything that we do." Under close scrutiny, you'll find that they can't. Because of this counterfeit situation, we have counterfeit churches. Oftentimes, people, in asking questions about the church, mistake the building for the body. I've been asked on several occasions, well, why can't you just go over here? There's a church right there. It's a church building. It's not the body, and therefore it was a counterfeit church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I will build my church. We all know that the word my is singular. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There have been those that have twisted this and wrestled with this and said that Peter was the rock. The rock that Jesus Christ built his church upon was not Peter, but the fact that he was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But he said, I will build my church. Anything that is not of Christ is counterfeit. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, we see that shortly after as the church was beginning, as the message was given to the apostles by the Spirit, and they spoke it there at first at Pentecost, we see that praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. No one had to worry about whether or not they were put into the right church, because the Lord did the adding. The Lord put you into his church, the church that he purchased with his blood. We see this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 as Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders. He told them to take heed unto themselves, to be careful, but not only unto themselves, but also unto all the flock, the people. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ died upon the cross to build his church. When he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, what he was saying was, even though I die, it will not prevent the church from being established. In fact, it was absolutely necessary that he die in order for the church to be established. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 tell us that there is only one body. People find this hard to grasp. They say, wait a minute, there's all these churches around here. They all can't be wrong. No, they're not all wrong. There's one that's right. It's the one that follows what God has put in his word. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, it tells us there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. That one body is the very body that Jesus Christ purchased with his blood upon Calvary's cross. And Christ's church is well detailed in the scripture. But because man has decided that they want things their way, they want to do things their way, we have not only counterfeit churches, but we have counterfeit worship. Many times, folks, in talking about their activities through the week or where they attend, have begun to say things like, well, we've decided that we're going to a contemporary worship. I had that said to me a few weeks ago, and I asked the man, I said, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, you can go in your shorts and your flip-flops and however you want to dress. It doesn't really matter. And I says, well, aren't we supposed to worship according to what God has said? Well, I think it's all right. I wonder what Nadab and Abihu thought when they offered counterfeit worship. Let's turn there. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Their worship was counterfeit. They had been instructed specifically and directly as to what to do and how to do it and where to receive the fire. It tells us there in Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. It tells us there that they did opposite of what God told them to do. It also tells us what happened. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. In this day and age, I submit that the Lord's church would be full to overflowing if just on a handful of occasions, when this counterfeit worship is offered to God, that fire were to come out of heaven and completely swallow up the preacher. People would turn. They would listen. But people are people, and they wouldn't do it for long. They'd find some place that hadn't been struck by lightning or by fire, and they'd go there because they like it better. Notice, if you will, the reaction of Aaron in verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. His sons were taken away by fire, devoured, and Aaron held his peace. Why? Because they did not do what God said to do. Aaron was aware of the fact that counterfeit worship was not acceptable. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9 about counterfeit worship. A passage that is familiar to many of us. It talks about vain worship, and it identifies what vain worship is in the context. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And when man gets up and he teaches the commandments of men, he's not preaching the truth. And he produces vain worship. Consider, if you will, counterfeit forms of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20, beginning through verse 34, we see Corinth's presumption and abuse of the supper. They had made it into something that it was not, that it was not designed to be. There are folks who met last week, and because it was that time of year that we call Easter, they had the communion. When asked about this, they would say, well, it's a good time to do it. Well, it's a good time to do it every time that the Lord said to do it and for the purpose for which he said to do it. We, in meeting around the table, do not remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but his death. Because it was in his death that his blood was shed and his body was broken. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see in verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Notice, if you will, verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. They had perverted the Lord's Supper. They had made it counterfeit, and it was not bringing about the desired result. The desired result is so that we might remember Christ. Verse 31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you may not come together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. They had made it a common meal. And if you need sustenance, eat it at home. Not around the table. What the Corinthian brethren had done was failing to worship in spirit and truth by making this observance of the Lord's Supper a counterfeit. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, we'll see Jesus, and he was talking to the woman at the well. That was a strange thing for a man to be talking to a woman out like that, but more especially in the fact that this was a Samaritan and Jesus was a Jew. But he talked to her regarding spirit and in truth. He said, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Our worship to God, our observance of those things which God has put before us, if we do not do it in spirit and in truth, we are counterfeit. The reason that there is so much counterfeit is because there are counterfeit doctrines. Man has made up his own mind as to things that would be acceptable in serving God. Again, man-made doctrines are counterfeit. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." The commandments of men are just that. Commandments of men, not commandments of God. We ask ourselves the question, does doctrine matter? I've had people to say, "Well, that's just your doctrine." Oh no, it's not mine. Woe unto me if I preach any other doctrine. But it's not mine. It's that which God has given. In 2 John verses 9 through 11, we'll see how much doctrine matters. So that we might understand that it is not in our best interest to involve ourselves with counterfeit Christianity. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Now, notice this. "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." This person involved in vain worship, in counterfeit Christianity. And we support them. We pat them on the back and say, "Godspeed, be on your way." We become partaker of their evil deeds. We should not want to do that. Consider, if you will, counterfeit forms of baptism. I say that because there are a number of ways that people decide that they're going to baptize. You know, it's quite traumatic for a child to be put in water. It's quite traumatic, quite frankly, to sprinkle water on a child's head. Especially when they're in a strange place and there's people gathered around, there's a lot of noise. And the child cries, and they say, "We've baptized the child." I see TV programs depicting the baptism of Jesus. And we see the character who is supposed to be John reaches his hand down into the water. He's standing in water nearly waist deep. He reaches his hand down into the water, and he pours it over the top of Jesus' head. To baptize means to dip, to submerge, to immerse, to overwhelm. And immersion is the precedent. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we'll see the precedent as it was, or 8 and verse 38, I'm sorry, chapter 8 and verse 38, when it was established how this baptism is to be carried out. "He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down," or down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, "and he baptized him. If indeed sprinkling or pouring was acceptable, do you not think that Philip would have said, 'Hey, go take this gourd, go down and get me some water'?" No, they both went down into the water. Some might want to still argue the issue. Well, it's not convenient. Go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Again, excuse me, we'll see what baptism is. We'll see that it is a burial. buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And if you ask people, would you like to be raised as Christ was raised? And they'll say yes. But the truth of the matter is, if they're not baptized into Christ, they cannot be raised as Christ was raised. We need to, in order not to have counterfeit Christianity, to test the article for authenticity. Remember the clerk? She takes the pen and she puts this smudge, and I'm told if it turns a certain color, it's counterfeit. We are to test the article, and we are to accept the standard for authority. God's word is truth. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, we see Jesus commenting on this. He said to those Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That which was counterfeit would not make them free. Not man's commandments, but God's commandments. In John 17:17, again, Jesus speaking, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart. Set them apart from what? From the world. We are not to be of the world. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world because we have been set apart, sanctified through the truth that is in God's word. Anything else is counterfeit. Also know that Christ has all authority. He told his disciples this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. He came and spake unto them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Notice what it is that he told them. He is the authority. And then he tells them, after he tells them that he is the authority, to go and teach and baptize and teach. And for us to do anything different than that makes us counterfeit. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, we have instruction to the brethren there, which also is applicable to us, how we are to spend our lives. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. When we look at our worship, we should be able to go to God's word and find every aspect of our worship. When we go to our lives and we live our lives, if we're not living counterfeit Christianity, we should be able to go to God's word and to see that in us. The only way that we can test the article for authenticity is to know the genuine article. Is there a seal or a certificate of authenticity? Again, remember the clerk? Sometimes they'll hold that bill up and they'll look for that little strip. I'm told it's embedded there so that you might know that it's authentic. But for us, in order to not practice counterfeit Christianity, we need to study God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, we'll see how Paul told Timothy to make sure that we were going back to that which was authentic. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Notice what Paul told Timothy as Paul was being guided by the Spirit to write. Study to show thyself approved unto God. If we indeed study as we should and know God's word, we will know when it's not being followed. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, we see a warning in this Hebrews letter that we ought to get to the point where we can teach others. Remember the commandment of Jesus. Go and teach and baptize and teach. Not everybody reaches that Because in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Sometimes people don't know that counterfeit Christianity is being spread on very thickly. It's kind of like the old frog. I'm told that you can take a pot of water, you put a frog in it. Well, he was going to kick around and bump up against the side every once in a while. And you keep turning the heat up just a little bit, and he'll just be happy as a frog in a pond. And it'll get a little hotter, get a little hotter, and doesn't even realize it. And then it's too hot, and it's too late. But if you were to take him and toss him into hot water, it would scald him, and he would jump and try to get out. The truth of the matter is that we need to be sensitive, and we need to be aware of the fact that we are to know the genuine article. We need to test all things. We need to try the spirits. And don't be afraid to put it into the test. God's not afraid. He tells us that we're to try the spirits. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, we must try or test the spirits. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God." There's a reason for this. He tells us, "Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, hereby know ye that the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." And people will take that and say, well, even these man-made churches say that Jesus has come of God. But they cannot be guilty in one point and not be guilty of all. In verse 4 of that same reading, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." We are of God. "He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we see warning about these false teachers, about those who would put forward counterfeit Christianity. Notice what he says in this general epistle. "For there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." He was writing this to the church. There will be false teachers among you. Why? Because they get away from that which is authentic. "Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." And verse number 2 says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." It's bad enough when one decides that they know a new way and began to put out counterfeit Christianity. But it's even worse when others follow them, "by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetous shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Know this and know it well. Counterfeit Christianity will be made known at the judgment. And only that which is authentic, only that which is pure, only that which is according to God's word will be accepted. So, we reach the point in this particular sermon in which we ask ourselves the question, are we involved in counterfeit Christianity? Perhaps there are those who have not ever heard the truth of what the Bible says as to what one must do in order to be saved. Perhaps among us this morning there are those who have heard, have obeyed, and for whatever reason have allowed sin to enter into their lives. We're going to give you both plans of salvation this morning. One, to those who have not named Christ, who have not become children of God, and the other, to those who have and then have been fooled into counterfeit Christianity. Don't be fooled by the counterfeit. Don't be fooled by various religions. Don't be fooled when people say, I have the truth, unless you can find it in God's word. He tells us in his word in Acts chapter 28 and verse 28 that we must hear. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation is God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. We are to believe according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We're also told that we are to repent. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then we are to confess. Again, we go back to Acts chapter 8. We see in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Of course, then he commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when those brethren or those men heard the truth of the gospel, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's exactly what they were told to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's when the real work starts. Because from that time forward, having become a child of God, we are to strive to remain faithful unto death. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the latter part of that passage tells us, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Do you want that crown of life? Then obey the gospel today. Perhaps you have laid hold on the promise of eternal life and then have negated that by allowing sin to come into your life. If you're a child of God, having put on Christ in baptism for the remission of sin, and you have allowed sin to come between you and God, then you are separated from God, and you must return through repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. As we open our song books to the selected song, I ask you, do you want counterfeit or do you want the real thing? If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.